This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to our followers, my dear respected brothers in Islam, last week we decided to begin a short series in which we called What Do We Learn From Ramadan? And we began last week with the first point, and that is that Ramadan taught us that worship is a way of life. It is not limited to 1 month, and it is a way of life in which a person was supposed to learn this during Ramadan, because obviously Ramadan is the biggest season of worship, since people are engaged in worship during the day and during the night all the way until Al-Fajr, and then they begin with the other worship of fasting and so on. So it's continuous and connected worship. And we spoke about its importance and how Allah Azza wa Jalla had addressed it in the Quran. The second point that we learn from Ramadan, whether or not you realized it, but Ramadan also taught us that repentance is a way of life. Repentance and seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a way of life. Repentance needs to be emphasized, because worship is the general term, and included in worship is many things we do. One of the worships is repentance. Repentance is a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is something in Ramadan that especially happens that teaches us tawbah is a way of life. And that is, yani, you recall from the many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he says, whoever fasts Ramadan out of iman and seeking Allah's reward, Allah would forgive him for his past sins. Forgiveness only happens when you seek Allah's forgiveness or you make a tawbah. Therefore, fasting itself is a tawbah. Fasting itself was a tawbah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the one who prays the night prayer all the way throughout Ramadan as well, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, and whoever was to stand in worship during Laylatul Qadr, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, Allah forgives him for what passed of his sins. In other words, all these actions we did in Ramadan, one of the biggest purposes of these actions were for a person to be forgiven. In other words, that action itself is a person seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. That action itself was a tawbah. If we speak about the main and the biggest action that occurs in Ramadan, which is fasting itself, and I said to you that fasting is a tawbah, how is fasting a tawbah? How is fasting a tawbah? Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they mentioned that at the very beginning, when Adam alayhi salam was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to roam freely in the paradise. Him and Hawa alayhim as-salam. فَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Enjoy yourself in the paradise. Go wherever you want and eat wherever you want. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And do not come near this tree. Do not approach this tree. There was a tree that was made forbidden. If the paradise, and you need to understand that it is much, much bigger than the size of earth. See, imagine I said to you, the entire earth is for you. And eat whatever you want on earth. But there is one restaurant, don't go near it. Yani, where would the eye, what would take you to that restaurant anyway? Even though you have the entire earth. If you ate at a different restaurant every single day, you might not even make it to that restaurant. But what happened with Adam alayhi salam, and what happened with the shaytan, and how did he get to that tree? This is why Adam would come to shaytan would come to Adam. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ الْوَسْوَسَ. You see how the verb is repeated? Was meaning continuous over time. This wasn't يعني, just that, no, Adam, come, there's a tree, come eat from it. Whispered one time after another, after another, after another. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. دَلَّاهُمَا is when you put the bucket inside of the water well, and then you begin to reel it out slowly, slowly. This is الدلو, دَلَّاهُمَا, meaning he guided them bit by bit, he dragged them, بِغُرُورٍ, in deception, until he got them to that tree. And then Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ Both of them ate from the tree. بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا And their clothes fell off and Al-Awra was exposed. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa rushed immediately to take leaves from the tree. The trees refused to give him any leaves except, يعني, as some of the Mufassirun mentioned, except the fig tree. It gave him leaves and he made clothing from it to cover himself. But the idea was that he ate from this tree and when ulama considered his sin attached to greed. This is considered al-hirs, greed. This was greed. He had the entire paradise to eat from. Lakin al-shaytan got him to the tree. How did the shaytan get him to the tree? How did he get him to the tree? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said that the shaytan said to him, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى Shall I direct you to شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ A tree that if you were to eat from, you will live forever. وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى And a tree that if you ate from, it will give you a kingdom. مُلْك لَا يَبْلَى A kingdom that will never ever expire. يعني الشيطان, what he did, he took the sin, which is ugly in itself, and he decorated the sin. He designed the sin. He decorated it for him. He said, if you were to eat from it, you will live forever. And that is a desire that human beings have. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal fulfills that desire for them in the paradise and keeps them living forever. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا And there is a desire also in the human nature that he wants a kingdom. He wants to own a lot. For shaitan got him from that door. He took what is disgusting, what is evil, which is the sin. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ He designed and he decorated the sin. Ubani Adam, if he's not careful, he falls into the sin. Wa Adam alayhi salam fell into the sin. And then obviously there was the process of a tawbah after this and so on. But we need to understand that this is how Iblis or shayateen bring a person to a sin by designing and decorating this sin for him. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ It has been designed for many of the mushrikeen to kill their children. فَالْمُشْرِكُونَ They used to bury their girls, their baby girls alive. They used to also bury the baby boys alive if they feed poverty, that we're not going to be able to sustain this boy. We're not able to feed him. As a result, let's just bury him. And Shaytan himself, he's the one that decorated this sin. Anyway, we went on a tangent just to explain that. But going back to the idea, and that is that Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah. He ate from the tree. And then as a result, he was sent down to earth. He was sent down to earth. Now because his sin was tied to something he ate, Allah Azza wa Jalla legislated fasting. Well, fasting, when one fasts, he refrains from eating and from drinking and from any kind of desire. He refrains from that. And if he was to refrain from that, it becomes a tawbah. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him fasting as a means of tawbah from what he did in the paradise. And the sin was that he ate. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ That fasting was prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed upon those before you. Yani fasting is not only limited to Ummat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasting was legislated from day one. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Because of that sin, which was got to do with food. For the one who fasts, is making tawbah from the sin. He's making tawbah from his sins. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and others have explained in the sense that fasting is a tawbah. This is how fasting is a tawbah. Well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that the one who fasts Ramadan and follows it up with 6 days of Shawwal, it is as though he has fasted the year. Yani as though he has fasted every day of the year. He got the reward of fasting every day of the year. Yani there is a possibility that a person is resurrected on the day of judgment and stands before Allah and he has fasted every single day of his life. Yani as though that you came and every single day of your life you made a tawbah from your sins. Adam ate something haram and fasting was prescribed as a means to forgive him. Then imagine How much more is a person supposed to ask Allah forgiveness when he not only consumes something haram, but let's say, eats the people's wealth unlawfully, eats the people's rights unlawfully, eats the flesh of his brother, which is backbiting, slander, gossip, cursing, and all of that. If you imagine how much worse that is, and how much more effort into at-tawbah and repentance is required from a person that does that. A person needs to focus and understand that the biggest lesson in Ramadan was to teach you and I that at-tawbah is a way of life. At-tawbah is a way of life. With tawbah, in essence, it comes, what does it mean? What does tawbah mean? It comes from the word taba, and taba means raja'a. Repentance means raja'a. Raja'a means to return. So a tawbah, the word tawbah means that a person, by committing a lot of sins, he has become distant from Allah Azza wa Jal. He's far away from Allah, from Allah's mercy. What tawbah means, raja'a, to come back closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come back closer to Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. This is what tawbah means linguistically. And the best way to understand how it's performed is by looking into the story of the first man who committed a sin, and what did he do after it, which was Adam alayhi salam, continuation of his story. When he ate from the tree, and that was a sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ. Adam disobeyed his Lord. So as a result, Allah Azza wa Jalla brought him from the paradise until he landed here on earth. This is another thing. This is what sins do. They take you from a life of happiness and enjoyment and excitement to a life of misery and worry and tests and trials and tribulations and a life of difficulty and hardship, which is the life on earth. It went from paradise to earth. This is what sins do. They take a person, they shift him from a life of enjoyment to a life of misery. Adam alayhi salam ends up on earth. Wallah Azza wa Jalla, he said, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal gave Adam alayhi salam words that if he was to say sincerely, it would be a forgiveness for his sins. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that even Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who taught him what to say when repenting. فَتَلَقَّى آدَم, he received words from Allah. Then Adam alayhi salam wanted to repent. What's he going to repent with? What does he say? What does a person do when he wants to repent? For Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the words, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. These are the words Allah gave him. Yani tawbah is what? Words. At-tawbah is words. Allah called it kalimat. A few words. Coming from a sincere heart, a person has earned tawbah. And this was never the case for the previous nations. Previous nations, tawbah was way different. In this nation, one of the most easiest things Allah Azza wa Jal made is the way the people seek Allah's forgiveness and make a tawbah. Very simple. Very simple. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ. He was given some words. These words were, we said, رَبَّنَا, our Lord. The words of At-Tawbah began with the name Rabbana. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, anyone who calls Allah in his name Rabb three times, except that Allah would give him that which he asked for. Illa a'tahu Allahu ma sa'al. Allah would give him. Yani if someone said, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, and then he requested for whatever it is of worldly matters, hereafter matters, forgiveness, tawbah, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him. Al hadith sahih. For the dua here began Rabbana. And a lot of the dua of the prophets and the messengers began with Rabbana. In fact, all the ad'iyah, all the dua of the prophets and messengers recorded in the Quran began with Rabbana. Rabbana, there's a secret in the word Rabbana. There's an intimate connection between the slave and his master with the word Rabbana. Then when you say Rabbana, which means our master, our Lord, you have already acknowledged that you're the slave. then if I say he's a teacher, then you know on the other side there's a student. And if you're saying Rabbana, our master, you have already acknowledged that you're the slave, because you're requesting. And it's only the slave that's going to request from his master. Rabbana. For this humility, from the very beginning, there's humility. And this is one of the biggest conditions of sincerity. One of the biggest conditions of an accepted tawbah and sincerity from a person is that he acknowledges his weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He humiliates himself before Allah azza wa jal. And that is achieved through the word Rabbana. And imagine repeating it three times. Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. The more you repeat it, your mind eventually would become aware of the fact that you're only a slave and you're nothing compared to your master, and that you're absolutely nothing, and that you're always in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the effect that the repetition of Rabbana would create in the heart and in the minds of a person. For he said, Rabbana, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. If that is the conditions of a tawbah are in this ayah, focus. Number one, that you acknowledge your weakness and your humility and your humbleness before Allah Azza wa Jal in the word Rabbana. Number two, that you acknowledge the sin that you did. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Then if you don't acknowledge your sin, why are you asking repentance for? You see, the idea is if you don't acknowledge what you've done wrong, you won't see a reason for asking for forgiveness. That's yani a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even relationship among ourselves. When you say to someone, brother, go and seek his forgiveness. Now why? What did I do wrong? You see, the idea is you will never ask for forgiveness if you haven't acknowledged what you've done is wrong. For with Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to acknowledge what's wrong. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. Then you're the one that had the choice, and you're the one that committed the sin. You don't blame Allah for it. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. We hold ourselves responsible. We hold ourselves to account. We don't say, Wallah, qaddar Allah, and we did the sin. Someone commits a sin. Wallah, this is what Allah wrote upon me. What am I going to do, yani? هذا قدر الله. I'm doing this and I'm doing that of sins because Allah wanted me to do it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is this takabbur, this arrogance in this. Any sin a person falls in, he blames himself immediately. He takes the responsibility for it. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Then, وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not forgive us and bestow your mercy upon us, two things, forgiveness and mercy. When you say, if you don't forgive us and bestow your mercy upon us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Surely, definitely, no doubt about it, لَنَكُونَنَّ. That double noon at the end is implying certainty. مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Who'll be from among the losers? And the losers eventually end up in the hellfire. Shuf Adam alayhi salam's words. How they're full of humiliation, full of humility and humbleness, full of acknowledgement of his sin, full of requesting and the desperate need of Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy and forgiveness. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. As a result, Allah Azza wa Jal forgave him. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. He accepted his tawbah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. He forgave him. Allah Azza wa Jal repented and accepted his repentance. Why? Allah said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. الرَّحِيمُ means what? The merciful. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us that He forgave him, and He will forgive anyone that repents. Not because Allah Azza wa Jal couldn't do anything about it, but because Allah Azza wa Jal is the All Merciful. He forgave him because of his mercy. Now I mention this because, you know, sometimes a person is faced in a situation with someone else, and a person might forgive someone else because he's too weak to get his right from him. And Allah, I'm facing someone huge. Well, I know he's got power to do whatever he wants with me, and he wronged me in something. I'm too weak, I can't get my right from him. Let me just say, brother, I forgive you for the sake of Allah. But the reality was, because I couldn't do anything about it. And sometimes you're able to do something about it. And you're able to get your right. But you say, you know what? I'll forgive him. May Allah forgive you, brother. Move on. In the second case, you forgave out of mercy. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى To Allah belongs the highest of example. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, He doesn't forgive because He wasn't able to get His right. He doesn't forgive because He wasn't able to do anything for a person on the Day of Judgment and burn him and punish him. That's why always the name of Allah, Al-Ghafoor, is attached to Rahim. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ Rahim, that He forgave out of mercy. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal was capable of doing anything to this servant because of the sin he committed. But out of mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, He forgave this servant. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ This is what happened to Adam alayhi salam after the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, once again, we're learning through these ayat, just to keep focus on the point, that the biggest lesson Ramadan was teaching us, that at-tawbah is a way of life. At-tawbah is a way of life. Person is supposed to make a tawbah every single day. At-tawbah is not just for the sinners. At-tawbah is for everyone. We'll speak about the categories of what you make tawbah from. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا O you who believe, save yourself and your family from a fire. But then the question is, what is the best method in protecting yourself and your family from the fire? What's the best method? Two ayat down, Allah would tell us what's the method. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا Repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, a sincere kind of repentance. A tawbah in where you promise yourself that you will never ever return to that sin ever again. And if you do fall into it once again, that you repeat this process again, a sincere tawbah. فَالْآيَةَ said, protect yourself and your family from the fire. Two ayat down, Allah Azza wa Jal would give us the best method in how to do that, and that is via a sincere tawbah. والعلماء رحمهم الله they understood something special in the Quran, and that is that every single prophet and messenger that was sent to mankind, they called their people to four things. Every single prophet and messenger called his people to four things. The first, ibadatullah, to worship Allah. Abdullah. The second, to follow the messenger, follow me. وأطيعون, اتبعون, follow me. The third, تقوى الله, to be conscious and mindful of Allah, to fear Allah. اتقوه وأطيعون, اتقوه. And the fourth and final thing that every messenger and prophet called his people to is al-istighfar. Seeking forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal and making continuous tawbah. These are four fundamentals that a believer is supposed to be following, that mankind is supposed to follow. And when we say istighfar, you see this fourth one here, not a lot of emphasis is put on it, unfortunately. A lot of emphasis put on the first three, which are essentials, foundations. Yani a person cannot be complete without these four. Each of them is as important as the other. والاستغفار يعني the commandment of it from every prophet wasn't just istighfar like that. It was a lot of istighfar. A lot. From Nuh alayhi salam's time. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا Allah Azza wa Jalla says at the beginning of Surah Hud, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ This is يعني شعيب عليه السلام informing his people. The beginning of Surah Hud, Alif Lam Ra, كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم الخبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير وأن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه وأن استغفروا كثرة الاستغفار والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم He came out to his companions one day and he said, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي I feel sometimes my heart becomes dusty. الغان is just a little bit of dust that's on the heart. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ مِئَةِ مَرَّةِ And as a result, I make istighfar more than 100 times a day. From what? From الغان. الغان is nothing. Al-Ghan is just like a sprinkle of dust on the heart. Wal-Ghan, يعني, a level above Al-Ghan is Ar-Ran that Allah mentioned in the Quran. كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. The rustiness that occurs on the heart as a result of مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, as a result of the sins they used to commit. Imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, مِنَ الْغَان, used to make istighfar more than 100 times a day. مِنَ الْغَان. فَانْتَ, the idea is this. When we're asking Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness and tawbah, the problem is, because we don't know what our sins are, and what are we supposed to ask forgiveness from, as a result we don't make istighfar Allah. This is true. And I might ask you, brother, do you have sins? Yeah, you'll say, Allah, I have a lot of sins, no problems. But now I'm gonna test one-on-one. Bring out a paper and a pen and write your sins. You'll struggle. What are you gonna write? What would you write? What are you gonna write? I lie sometimes. I cheat sometimes. I've cursed sometimes. I do this. What about then? What are you gonna write? Would you be able to fill a page? Should the problem is because you've acknowledged you have a lot of sins. That's good. But now, when I say to you, name and list your sins, you failed to give me a list of these many sins you're saying about. And as a result, because you don't know what are the categories of sins, what are you asking tawbah and forgiveness from, you don't make istighfar a lot during the day. This is why it's important to understand, what are you asking Allah forgiveness from? Give you examples. Number one, like ma'asi sir, the sins that are committed in private, that's a category. The sins that are committed in public, that's a category. Ma'asi al-qulub, the sins of the heart, the disease of the heart. Anta, can you claim that you don't have arrogance in your heart? Can you claim now and get up and say, Anna, I don't have hypocrisy in my heart at all? 0, 100%. No one dares to do it. When was the last time you said, oh Allah, cleanse me from a nifaq that's in the heart. Keep me away from a nifaq. Cleanse me from arrogance, from envy, hasad. And they have hasad among each other. Did you ask Allah to forgive you from al-hasad that's within you? Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if there's only an ant's weight of arrogance in the heart, a person is barred from the paradise. Can't enter. Did you ask Allah Azza wa Jal forgiveness from, they call it, al-ma'asi, those that you left them for the sake of, you just got bored of them. There are people in the past, they would commit sins. Then they grew out of the sin. It's childish now. I don't have to do it. There's a difference between leaving a sin because I got bored from it and leaving it for Allah's sake and making a tawbah from it. These sins require tawbah. They require tawbah. Even the categories are plenty. The categories are many. There are sins. Al-istighfar is supposed to also be asked after worship. So when we finish the salat, the first thing, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is from a worship, you're asking Allah forgiveness. This is an acknowledgement that my salat wasn't 100% in how Allah wants it. This is why the istighfar comes after salat. And every worship you do, you must seek istighfar after it. Yani we're sitting in a circle of knowledge. Worship. At the end we're supposed to say, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, astaghfiruka. وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. This is an acknowledgement, 100% this circle of knowledge wasn't perfect in the sense and in the manner that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted it from us. We're supposed to ask forgiveness from that, repent from that. وَأَفْتَى الزَّكَاةِ وَأَفْتَى الصَّدَقَةِ, a person gives, he's supposed to follow it up with istighfar. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ. Istighfar after salat, after zakat. Yani, you think of it, what can go wrong? When you take money out of your pocket and you give it fi sabilillah, your hard earned money, what can go wrong? Lakin, humble yourself. There's a problem. Acknowledge it wasn't 100% to what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. So follow it up with istighfar. That istighfar hopefully will mend. It'll fix the cracks in that worship. As a result, it becomes 100% عند Allah. فالاستغفار, even from obligations. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to ask Allah for forgiveness, he used to say, Allahumma ghafirli dhunubi kullaha, diqqaha wa jillaha, the small ones and the big ones, sirraha wa alaniyataha. Then he would say, ma alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam. Forgive me for sins I know about and sins I don't know about. That's another category in itself. There are sins you have no idea about. Then how much istighfar is required from a person? There are sins you do not know about that you commit. These need tawbah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to seek Allah's forgiveness for the categories of sins, they are 13 categories. ما قدمت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت يعني وما أخفيت. والحديث mentions them. These are categories of sins. فإذا رمضان taught us that التوبة and seeking forgiveness is a way of life. ويعني the idea is this. You know, you and I know that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, رغم أنف امرئ أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له. That the humiliated one and the loser is the one who enters Ramadan and comes out and Allah hasn't forgiven him. You know that hadith. What else in that category? أيضا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, basically this is the words of Ali. He said, ليت شعري من المقبول فنهنيه ومن المحروم فنعزيه. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, if only I had knowledge of whose Ramadan was accepted, I would have congratulated him. And if I had knowledge of whose Ramadan wasn't accepted, I would have given him condolences. Yani the idea is this, that if Ramadan did not earn a person complete forgiveness, that person is a loser. That person requires to be given condolences. That's what we know. What does that mean? Does it mean a person khalas loses hope and moves on? For that person, the advice right now is repent. Repent. If you feel like you lost Ramadan and you are the loser because you did not earn Allah's forgiveness, then repent. The door of At-Tawbah is open. Ramadan was teaching you that repentance is a way of life. So when Ramadan finishes, don't sit down and, wallah, I didn't make the most of it, you know. Feel dirty on the inside. I didn't make the most of Ramadan. I think I'm from that loser. طيب, if you're from that loser anyway, what do you do? Tawbah ila Allah straight away, quick. Maybe Allah would accept that tawbah and you become much better than if you were to take from Ramadan some benefit. You don't know, these are matters in the hands of Allah. You only do what Allah is telling you to do. A tawbah after Ramadan is very important, very important. A tawbah after Ramadan. And that you learn it's a way of life. And the beauty of this is that and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did teach us that in Ramadan the doors of the paradise are open. This is something people look forward to hearing the news of the fact that the doors of the paradise are open. But didn't you know that the doors of the paradise, they open every Monday and Thursday as well? They open every, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow is a day in which the doors of the paradise open. Yani you can relive your mini Ramadan tomorrow by fasting that day. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would fast Monday and Thursday, because these are days in which the doors of the paradise are open. Just like in Ramadan, when the doors of paradise are open, people are fasting. There's a connection between fasting and the door of the paradise being open. At-tawbah wa du'a and anything that a person is saying, bi-ithnillah, would raise up, would rise, would be accepted. فإذن, يعني these are things that Ramadan would teach us, that at-tawbah is a way of life. At-tawbah is a way of life in the life of a believer. And we conclude with one final hadith, and that is that a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, inni udhnib, I commit sins, what do I do? He said, then make a tawbah. He says, I make a tawbah, then I commit a sin, then I make tawbah from that sin. And the man is suggesting in his words to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeats himself three times, inni udhnibu fa atubu fa a'ud, I commit a sin, I make a tawbah, and I repent to seeking forgiveness, then I fall once again, and this kind of cycle is killing me. Yani, what do I do? فَالنَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ لَهُ فِي الرَّابِعَةِ. After the fourth time, he said to him, the companion said, until when? Until when do I commit this, continue this cycle? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, حَتَّى يَكُونَ الشَّيْطَانُ هُوَ الْمَحْصُورِ. Until the shaytan himself gives up. Not until you give up. I can't do this anymore, man. I commit a sin, I make a tawbah, khalas, that's it. None of the tawbah is getting me nowhere. Until the shaytan gives up on you in dragging you and reeling you into this sin. When he gives up on you, the sign of that is that you will totally back off from the sin altogether. Faithen, understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us, is that a tawbah is a way of life. Every single day a person is supposed to sleep upon a tawbah, wake upon a tawbah, after salat a tawbah wa istighfar. After any action he does a tawbah wa istighfar. Continue this astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh on your tongue. Adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. From among them is Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabba, Allahumma Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka. Sayyidul Istighfar. This is the master. This is the master words in asking Allah for forgiveness. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana adika wa adika wa istata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. Abu'u lak bi ni'matika alay. I acknowledge your favor upon. Wa abu'u lak bi dhanbi. And I acknowledge my sin. The abu means I acknowledge my sin. فَغْفِرْلِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. Got it? Understand the idea. Tawbah is supposed to be every day. Don't give up. If a person is in this fighting a sin, if a person is fighting, how do you fight a sin? With a tawbah you fight it. You fight the sin with a tawbah. But you don't give up. You wait until the shaytan gives up on you. And then the sign of that would be that you'll back off from it totally. Wallahu a'lam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our sins, those of which we know and those of that which we don't know. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us into His mercy, into His paradise. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.